Welcome to my stories and journeys where the river flows. And this river is Avon Wisk, the Usk. Well, my journey with the Usk this month has not unfolded quite how I was expecting, mainly because of the record-breaking hotter than July weather. And I found myself moving more and more slowly and wondering about things I hadn't necessarily expected to be wondering about. And I've also found myself re-encountering some old river acquaintances from the realms of story. So, first things first, this month we are making our way on downriver, all in the summer weather, along the middle section of the Usk. And since we are following water on foot, here it is still the same dance in many ways that it has been since Brecon, the dance between the canal and the river. The canal on its course above and below, the river flowing in her valley. It's a very slow dance in the hot sunshine. As you decide which bits to walk along the canal and which bits to walk along the river. And again, it's the same thing that we found last time. Lots of the canal is accessible along the towpath and parts of the river are accessible with a path running alongside. And I had thought in these lovely long days of midsummer that I would be doing lots of loops, because lots of the walks here do make loops. You can go in one direction along the canal bank and then turn and walk back along the river, or vice versa. But for me at least, the very hot weather has taken a big chunk of walking time out of the middle of the day. And so I've been most comfortable walking early and late. And stretches of walk have been planned with shadier sections in mind and cool drink stops. And I've definitely been doing less walking and more sitting. Less walking along the bank, more sitting on the bank. And of course, heat brings us to the water's edge. As the heat wave goes on, creatures living in the river are under increasing stress. Water levels and oxygen levels in the river are low. There's a ban on fishing. But for us humans, the flowing river calls us like a cool blessing. Farm animals are feeling this hot, thirsty July, and farmers in the Usk Valley, as elsewhere, are anxious about their water supply. In the fields beside the river walk, sheep are craving shade. Dogs being walked along the banks make a beeline for the river and lie in the water, and most of the walkers of these dogs look as if they'd like to follow suit. And it's painful because this plunges us, yes, plunges us, deep into the heart of a dilemma. The Usk has got some beautiful spots for bathing that just invite you in, deep pools and paddleable shallows. And on this middle stretch, there is a riverside path from the confluence where the Crownon comes flowing in along its own steep valley to join the Usk, and the path runs all the way down to the little hamlet of Cyffredin. So there are lots of lovely places to enter the water, but the Usk has no officially designated bathing spots, and the Wye has just one, where the water is regularly tested for safe levels of E. coli. And some days it passes and some days it doesn't. Due to years now of regular data collecting on phosphates and nitrates and so on, We know about how the Esk is struggling, in common with other rivers. So at the same time as our nature yearns to cool off and paddle in the river, we're also asking ourselves, is it good to swim here today? Will it make us ill? Will we be fine? What are the pollution levels here today? How do we know? Certainly walking on the banks of the Esk this hot month, I've passed many bathers and paddlers, and perhaps on some level each person makes their own decision in the moment or their own compromise. For myself, I can only think that maybe we do need to experience this dilemma that the hot weather has brought us now, to remind us even more strongly of our yearning for the water and the understanding that water is life. We need to feel the urgency for the river to flow clean again. So I think that rather than get overwhelmed by the melancholy or the anger in feeling barred from our rivers or doubting whether we should simply keep cool in them or not, all I can think is that we use this as another aid to waking up and remembering and finding the best way we can to use our voices, take action, whatever we can, to add to the growing movement that will bring closer the time when the river will flow clear again. And we won't need to agonise over whether a paddle or a dip in the river is going to make us ill or not. Now, in this particular stretch of riverside walk is the village of Llangynnedr. Really, it's the next little hub in the journey. It's a pretty little village. It's got an upper and a lower part, and the canal runs through it. The Esk forms the boundary of the parish, and the Gleisfer joins the Esk here. And of course, we're still in Banau Brycheiniog National Park. Now, the local history society of Llangynnedr have a website where I had spotted information about something I wanted to see with my own eyes. So I arranged to meet up with the chairperson of the society, Anne Jessop, and together with Treasurer Debbie William, we went to look at the washing lanes. And by the way, it should be their voices describing them, but I had an equipment failure because my voice recorder decided it was fed up of being left in a very hot car for too long. So anyway, it's down to me to tell you what we did. The washing lanes are in the upper village, where the Gleisfer runs steeply down to the lower part of the village, which is bounded by the Esk. They probably date from the 18th century. And although they're not rights of way as such, they are protected access to water, to the Gleisfer, for all sorts of domestic needs. Primary amongst them, water for washing. Of the original lanes, three still give good access to the water. So down I went, and it really was a descent. Down the green track and the steep, narrow stone steps, tucked in alongside an old cottage and its garden. Out of the heat and light of a scorching July day, down into the shade and the blessed cool of the Gleisfer, where the water runs quick and clear over stones and boulders. And it was like a shadowy sanctuary of stone and trees and water. I was very well aware that I had no heavy work to do there, and I was very glad that I didn't have to carry any bucketfuls of water back up those steep stone steps. But to be honest, I didn't really want to leave. And as I clambered slowly back up, I realised that I had been in the domain of the washerwomen. Yes, washerwomen. I've been working with the stories and the ways of the washers for a good few years now, and they don't leave me alone for long. And when we'd finished our washing lane visit and I'd been treated to coffee and Barrabreath in Anne's own beautiful garden, which the Claisfair also runs through, I went for a flat and gentle walk by the canal for a while, and the washers kept me company. So I thought I would tell you a bit about them, since they have made their way very definitely into our river journey. The washerwomen are to be found in folk tales from across Europe. They're particularly likely to be encountered on the western edges, the Celtic lands. Also in stories from Italy, Galicia, and further afield than I have been able to follow. They have their roots in deeper myths. The washerwomen are young and old and neither. They're to be found by a river, at a ford, in out-of-the-way places or at the edge of the village, with their hands busy washing shirts, sheets, shrouds. They're to be found east of the sun and west of the moon. They have one foot in this world and one in the other world. They have their sleeves rolled up and they're getting on with the job. They are wise and they are fierce. And their job is change and renewal. The washerwomen know things. They have seen and dealt with the dirty linen. They're down to earth, practical and hard working. But down to earth isn't the whole story, because their business is also with the water. And when your business lies with water, then you are connected to a different world. So with their feet on the land and their hands in the water, the washers have connections to things that are not of the everyday. And they come from a time, which is almost all of history, when washing was done mainly out of doors, in or beside streams or rivers, including, of course, the Usk and her tributaries. Washing was a communal activity for the women, led by someone usually with a special skill. And here in Wales, the laws of Hywel Dda from the 10th century stipulated the right of the golchaddes, the washerwoman, to have a protected space around her, kind of a magic circle or exclusion zone, to extend for as far as she could throw her golchbren, her beater. And bearing in mind that she would have had very strong arms from all the washing and wringing and pounding, that would be quite a fair way. Prying eyes hoping to spot naked legs or a wet blouse, or eavesdroppers hoping to hear private gossip, were required by law to stay away. Stay away from the washers. Washers knew things. They read clothes like newsletters or diaries. And though the work was hard physical labour, including for some of the lowliest women on the social scale, there was a queenliness to it too, and a solidarity. Whilst the wash was in progress, the skilled washerwomen from Wales to the Aegean were queens of their realm. Now, in the last episode, I talked a bit about noticing the river as a kind of a first base for caring about our waterways. Because if you don't notice them, then how can you care? And now on this part of the journey, I've definitely come face to face with how suddenly we do notice rivers when we're hot. And in finding the wash lanes in Llangynnedr, it's been a reminder of a time when we had to notice, because streams and rivers were our direct source of water. The washers noticed not only people's everyday trials and tribulations and how things were going, but also they paid attention to the water. They knew about the water and how it was flowing. And that, up to a point, we can allow ourselves to forget. We can allow ourselves to forget that clean water is a vital need because it reaches us at several removes. The deep roots of the wise and often scary figure of the washerwoman in our folk tales may well lie back in the time when the life and death nature of a river was understood and honoured as the Great Mother, bound up in birth and death and everything in between. And if you think about it, in so many of the religions of the world, water blessings of one form or another mark our journeys into and out of our life in this world. In Llangynydr, the Baptist chapel is in the lower village, and in its early days, at the start of the 19th century, baptisms took place in a pool in the Usk. Later on, there was a baptistry installed inside the chapel, which was initially filled via a pipe from the canal, which flows directly above it. And I learned from another local History Society member that there were church baptisms further downriver too. Anointing for babies and total immersion for some older people up until the 1980s. Well, a convenient way to get back down to the riverside path now is through the back garden of the village shop and cafe. Very convenient because it also offers cold drinks and ice creams. You can rejoin the path leading up or downriver there, but I turn to continue on downstream. And almost immediately I arrived at Llangynydr Bridge, which is a real treasure, a beauty of stone arches, built in 1702 to replace the old wooden one, with the arches high enough to escape flooding. It's now thought to be the oldest bridge still in use over the Usk. The view from the bridge is a delight to behold. And after I'd gazed at it for a while, I carried on down the riverside path a little further. The path downriver from the bridge is quite challenging. There are roots and it's dusty, slippery, but it's shady. And there are a good few little paths down to the water's edge, which is where I was drawn, because this was a day and a place not to be walking far, but to be sitting on a rock, half in and half out of the water, looking out over stretches of river that are chatty, almost cascady, rapid by Usk standards. Glassy green weavings of water, frothing, bubbling, fringed by the trees on either side. And six young mallards, no longer little ducklings, in fact they were probably teenage mallards, swum determinedly up in a very straight line, practicing their formation swimming, holding the line as they manoeuvred upstream, with frequent stops to nibble the weeds or get out onto the little river islands before returning to the water and taking up their line again very determinedly. And although my sights had been set on Crickhowel and beyond, this hot July day left me there on a riverside rock, thinking about washerwomen and paddlers and hot, thirsty creatures and what the water means to our lives and how the water is our life, if only we remember to remember. And at last, I made my way back up from the river, back along the canal, which in contrast to the bubbling Usk was still as could be, and the colour of a cup of cocoa. Canal boat holiday makers were sitting quietly beside their boats in the sunshine, and A young squirrel gently nibbling a green hazelnut on a low branch over the towpath, just about an inch above my eye level, didn't even bother to scamper away when I brushed past. We just eyeballed one another for a moment, and I think we both just thought, it's too hot to bother. And there, I think I am going to leave my account of this stretch of the journey. It has been a very short stretch, and I know it's going to leave us with extra miles to make up next time. But sometimes it just works out that way. But I think that since I didn't manage to record any other voices, it would be nice to hear a song now. So, here is a song by the marvellous Helen Terrett. Helen and I have had a good many adventures journeying with rivers. This song is called Undina. It's about undines, nymphs of rivers and streams. They're elemental beings, water spirits. And I think this song suits the kind of day that this has been, beside the Usk at Llangynidr. I hope you like it.
A boat is rocking, a sailor to sleep, songs from the other side, voices in the stream, in the stream. Let us see what we can do to make you step down from your island. Rock for a pillow, pillow for a rock. I'm swimming through my blankets, still playing. I am caught and locked between these banks, damned and harnessed to the land. Let us see what we can do to make you step down from your island. Undina, Undina, dive under. Open your heart.
Thank you for keeping me company on my journeys and stories down where the river flows. And I'll see you again on Down the Track.